You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Craig, I'm not sure if you wanted me to preach today. You were ready for the offertory. I'm going to carry on. As the program notes, to Max and to the family, praise God. I'm just so grateful for this momentous occasion. And Craig, don't depart anytime soon like Simeon. Hang around a little longer if you would. I'll redirect our attention. It's been a few minutes and graciously, wonderfully loved witnessing the baptism. But going back to Luke's gospel, as we heard read, chapter 12, this parable of Jesus. Of course, Jesus told many parables, and this one is placed in an odd place in that it's a response to something given in the crowd. There's a man who stands up. Jesus has been teaching and healing and doing other wonders in the midst of literally thousands of people. And a man stands up in the crowd, a complete non sequitur, and makes a demand of Jesus. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus really has nothing to do with this. It's really out of order this man would say this. And yet he knows Jesus is a teacher and comes with authority, and so maybe, just maybe, he'll get what he wants or needs. But inheritance has to do with the law. That is, there's regulations, and just like in our day, inheritance has to do with the law. And so Jesus says, "Look, man, I'm not your judge. I wasn't called here to be your judge." But he can tell a lot about the man and what's on his mind by the demand. I wonder for you, what would you demand of Jesus if you had one wish, as it were? You don't have to answer right now, please don't, but what's on your heart and mind? What do you go to God with? And of course, this man is worried about his future. He's worried about the present, but he's worried ultimately about the future, his financial future, his wealth. And Jesus tells a parable in response, first saying, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He tells a parable about a man who had a field, a rich man who produced many crops. And the man wonders, "What shall I do with all this? I have nowhere to store my crops." And so he builds bigger barns to put away all of the grain, with the ultimate hope. I know many of us think in these categories, like we're going to retire one day, we can just coast till the end. And he says this sort of Epicurean mantra to himself, that he can relax, he can eat, he can drink, and he can be merry. Well, doesn't that just sound wonderful? There's days where I simply want to coast, and I want to relax and eat and drink and be merry. But the parable turns, and God says to the man, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. No amount of preparation or accumulation, no price can pay for your soul, and it's required of you." So Jesus is a little prickly when he tells this parable, and he's triggered by this question of the law. And you notice this in the Gospels. Anytime a scribe or a Pharisee, or in this case, just a bystander, ask questions concerning the law, Jesus rightfully gets a little prickly. You and I, we're anxious about a lot of things in this life, and this man is just speaking out of his anxiety. He's giving a petition or a demand where he's most anxious. And again, you and I can relate to that. Whether it's money or possessions or our security or our future, we're all anxious, and we do go to God. But God is not the genie, as depicted in the 1992 masterpiece Aladdin. That was supposed to be a little bit funny, but I'm stuck in the 90s. You remember that movie, and of course the tale comes from the Arabian Nights, which, by the way, was not in the original collection. That was added by a French compiler much later. But Aladdin has, that's an important historical detail. Aladdin has three wishes with the genie, and of course, we often think of God this way. You know, "What God, what can you do for me? How can you make my kingdom come?" By the way, don't watch the remake from 2019. It's just not worth your time. 92 was perfect. One critic says this: "If you don't think about it very hard, the remake of Aladdin might entertain you. But you'd be a heck of a lot more entertained by watching the original, or by going to a real-life parade, or by doing some light gardening." And he finishes with this: "Or by doing a crossword puzzle." Stinging words. But that classic story of rags to riches, and the man in our parable, of course, is already rich, but it gives us the sense that we're secure, that we finally arrived, we've made it, whether it's physical things, possessions, or whatever accomplishment that we have before us, it has the illusion that we'll be secure and that we'll have arrived and we can coast until the end. I thought about cutting this, but this one's for Jack. Biggie Smalls, this is Notorious B.I.G., his song Juicy, and American hip-hop's littered with this sort of rags-to-riches kind of story. His song Juicy, don't go read all the lyrics. I'm reading you the appropriate ones. Don't judge me for this, but it's compelling because, of course, he came from the projects and became magnificently wealthy. But he says, born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. You hear the rhythm in this. I'm trying my best not to rap to you. 50-inch screen, money green leather sofa. Got two rides, a limousine with a chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry. My accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day. No more public housing. I say all that to flex a little bit, of course, that I love 90s hip-hop. Again, stuck in the 90s. But you see the security, he's lounging, he's finally made it. It's not just the things, it's the life now where he doesn't have to worry, at least that's the belief. And going back to the passage, going back to the man who asked the question and then the man in the parable, it's all about security ultimately. And what God does, he says, if you want to play by the rules of the law, you will never be secure. Let me say that again. If you play by the rules of the law or think you're playing by the rules, it's never enough. Our psalm says as much. The ransom of our soul, we can never gain enough for our own life. And so taking the law, the man asked the question, asking Jesus to massage the law so that he can get the inheritance from his brother. If you play by those rules, the ultimate end is death. The ultimate end is our lives are demanded of us. It's never enough. And it's easy enough to criticize the secular world, rappers and Aladdin and what have you, but we all live like this, whether it's financial or otherwise. Even the credit card companies market in this way. Here's some famous slogans from companies like Amex, who says, my life, my card. Or MasterCard, who says, more living, less limits. This illusion of freedom. MasterCard again, relax, you've got MasterCard. Chase even has a card called Freedom. And if that's not enough for you, Chase Freedom Unlimited may be for you. We all live wanting and desiring this freedom, these no limits, this security, but we're looking in all of the wrong places this morning and in our lives. So if this is all about the law, where's the good news? If Jesus is saying, don't play by the law, what's the good news? Well, the good news is that God freely gives. And when we're talking about inheritance by the law, it is bad news because only the older brother is going to get the portion. The rest of us are left. I happen to be an older brother, so if I were Jewish, this would be good news for me. But when we're talking from a gospel perspective, the inheritance that you and I have, it's eternal, it's everlasting, and all that belongs to Christ belongs to you and to me, irrespective of how much preparing we've done, irrespective of how much hoarding and putting away we've done, irrespective of our performance. It's freely given, all of it. All that God has is for you and for me. And unfortunately, again, we can hurl stones at the secular world, but we as Christians often miss this. I meet Christians who are the most anxious people because they believe I've got to read my Bible harder, I've got to pray more, or I've got to say the right thing, or I've got to toe the line, or God won't love me. That's simply not the gospel. God's not dangling a carrot and saying, if you get it right, then you can have it. Instead, he freely gives. He freely gives. So the man who's been ruminating and questioning, what shall I do? It's always what the law would have us ask. What shall I do? The gospel tells us what indeed has been done and what God continues to do for us. This morning in the assembly hall service, we sang, great is thy faithfulness. And one of the lines in the refrain is, all I hath needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. God provides every good gift for you and for me, and we can finally see that when the gospel is revealed to us, and we can finally actually for the first time be thankful and receive it. And that's indeed what it means to be a Christian, one who has received. I often get asked when I go to lunch with people where I'd like to eat, and I've got this reputation of liking food, you might could tell that, but it makes me anxious when people ask me where I want to eat, because there's so many good options out there. I always prefer it when someone else picks, and I go along for the ride. It's kind of nice to learn what other people like. And again, that's what it means to be a Christian, is we're not deciding. God has decided for us. And this is when the gospel has been misrepresented, that you and I have to make a decision. That's getting us on the wrong foot. I went to a wedding some time ago, and a minister from another church presented the gospel. The couple said, you need to present the gospel. We've got all these people who need to hear the good news. And that sounds really good on the face of it. This bride and groom wanted to convert the heathen in their family. But the way in which the gospel is often presented is it's this choice that you and I have. And the person beautifully laid out the doctrine of sin and all that goes with that and our need for God. But then as he lays out the carrot and dangles it before them, it says, if you make this decision and start living according to God's plan, then you're saved. And I wanted to scream, but that wouldn't be appropriate, would it, in a wedding? Maybe Jesus would have. Maybe he would have told a parable to them. The point is, the gospel is not a choice for you and for me. Jesus has made the choice. And that's why baptism is such a powerful reminder of that. Even as we kick and scream, even as we fall asleep at times, even as we reject, God still pours out his abundant grace and favor upon us because of his work accomplished when he says, it is finished and it is for you. So the question is not what shall I do, but what has been done for me? I'm along for the ride. You pick, Lord, you decide. Jesus has decided for you this morning, dear friends, and that is good news. We're not leaving it up to you or to me to accomplish this. This final line, and Jesus closes, he says, so the one who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Well, how do we get rich towards God? How do we make ourselves rich and worthy before God? Well, it's precisely what I just told you. You already are. You already are. Whether you know it or not, God has abundantly poured out his Spirit here on this word to you that you are forgiven and you are free and all that he has belongs to you. And there's nothing you can do to revoke that. And so instead of worrying and being anxious about the future, we trust. And indeed, we get to do the thing the man wanted to do. We get to relax. The gospel allows us to relax. We get to eat. And here in a few moments, we'll eat and drink as we approach the table. And finally, we're merry. We're joyous, not just today, but for all of eternity. Because God does not go against his promise. He's made a promise to you. And he will not forsake you, and he will not leave you. All that is his belongs to you. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.